You're listening to CFB Talks Digital Assets, the home of informed conversation about crypto for institutions building the future of finance, presented by CF Benchmarks. Hey everybody, thank you very much for joining us for another episode of CFB Talks Digital Assets. I'm Ken O'Delliger, Head of Content, and as usual, I'm joined by my colleague, Gabe Selby, who's Head of Research. Hi, Gabe.
Hey, Ken. Hope your summer's going well. As always, I'm excited to be here. So what do we have in store for our audience today?
We are going to have an opportunity today to continue our intermittent theme of, you know, having a look into the long-standing European spot digital asset market, because we have today our first client to utilize one of our earliest portfolios, the UltraCap 5, the euro-denominated version of it. And that is a client called 3, Capital. So to that end, we are going to now introduce our guest, who is Mr. Nuno Serafin. He is a managing partner, venture capital and digital assets at 3, Capital. So Nuno, really nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you guys. Thank you for having me here.
Brilliant, brilliant. So obviously we're going to talk about 3, Capital. We're going to talk about its main global crypto fund, and we're going to look into the perspective on Europe from where Nuno is based, which is actually Lisbon. So Nuno, basically what I'd like to really, you know, begin with is, can you tell us everything about the fund? I think it's called Global Crypto Fund.
Correct.
The background behind its launch, the reason why you chose the UltraCap 5, as much as you're comfortable to say, basically.
Okay, of course. Yeah. Thank you, Ken. Well, our idea here at 3, is to do and to approach the market differently from the crowd, right? From the normal asset managers. So, and we would like always to offer something that is related to our expertise and to our convictions. In essence, at 3, we are an alternative asset manager and a VC investor as well. And our thesis is pretty much focused on technology and startups with some angle on the blockchain or on the DLT. Well, normally called Web3 projects, right? So we thought that having so much knowledge and about, you know, the ecosystem, what is happening, use cases, founders, ideas, new businesses, for us was pretty much obvious that we need to offer something different. So we came with the idea, and even before the ETFs have been launched in the US, to come up with this fund, a very simple fund, long-only fund, with daily liquidity, with a benchmark that would offer exposure to the most representative assets in the space, digital assets. Our thesis is that digital assets are now an asset class and is perceived as an asset class, as the features of asset class. 4 years ago, probably we would find very easily a lot of skepticals on this, but nowadays it's more or less easy that we are in front of asset class. So we basically try to design something that we would believe in, something that would be simple, something that would make the investment available into cryptos like any common equity fund or bond fund or money market fund. So daily liquidity, total price transparency, total price discovery, and something that would be framed by a benchmark that we know or we expect to perform better than the crowd. And actually, UltraCap 5 probably, and I'm just speaking from the top of my head, probably is your best returning index for the last 2 years. And that's one of the tricks when you design liquid products, is to, you know, to select the best benchmarks as possible. So our idea was to select a benchmark that could explain, that clients that are normally traditional asset managers could also understand, and with exposure to projects that we firmly believe that they'll be around for the next 10 years. And let's face it, all the Bitcoin and Ethereum, they are 70% of the space, right? probably UltraCAP 5 is more 80% of the space. So why invent the why invent the road again? Why invent
the wheel? Yeah,
the
yeah.
wheel again, right? Yeah. So we find that UltraCAP 5 would be the best index for us, although it's concentrated, and I think we can speak that on that.
Yeah, sure.
Afterwards, but the concentration in crypto assets doesn't mean more risk.
No.
On contrary, it means less risk and less downside and less volatility.
Yeah, we can get to that. There's so many avenues to explore with this. So, you know, we'll start with the basics, because obviously this is a point, these are major points of curiosity for potential investors who we believe you're right, who are looking for this kind of thing. You know, they'll always have these questions, but there will be, you know, basically some rapt attention and likely to be some demand for this kind of thing. Because as I said, I believe you are the first public European client that is utilizing RCF UltraCAP 5, the regulated top five market capitalization replication market beta index that we provide. So yeah, you are in a unique position. So let's start with the basics for some of those questions that people may have. Now, I think you've indicated that this is an actively managed fund with an excess return objective, deploying UC5 as a benchmark, obviously. Again, so can you outline the thinking behind aiming for alpha instead of replication of beta with this fund?
Okay, yeah. All active management, they aim to generate alpha. We know that generating alpha is not an easy task. When you look for traditional assets, and I always look for the SPIVA report every month, the Standard & Poor's, your competition for the traditional assets, Standard & Poor's, they issue a report that compares basically index funds to active funds.
Yes.
And actually, it's a very tiny percentage of funds that consistently beat the benchmark. And it's not because they are not diligent or because they are not good. Actually, on the end of the day, people are paying for something that they don't have. It's true. Yeah. But that it's because it's difficult to generate alpha, right? On efficient markets, it's really difficult to beat S&P 500. It's really difficult to beat efficient markets, let's say, right? So on cryptos, we still have that edge, right? The markets are not that efficient. Probably I'll regret for what I'm saying now in a couple of years' time. But they are not that efficient. They trade 24 hours. They are very volatile, and volatility brings opportunities. Not that we are active traders. We are not. We have convictions, and we bet on our convictions, and we are long-term. But actually, on the crypto assets, and we all come here in 3Comma Capital, we all had a past, most of us, had a past managing traditional assets. I've been all my life portfolio manager, then investment director, then chief investment officer, then I start with equities, then I did multi-assets, then I did long shorts. Well, I did almost everything. And it's very difficult, basically, to beat efficient markets. But on cryptos, we still have that edge. And we have tools that allow us to beat the markets. One of the tools is a basic thing, is the ability to stake tokens or assets where the consensus mechanism is proof of stake. So that means that roughly on 40% of our assets, we can gain additional yield that can go from 3.5% to 7%, depending on the moment, depending on the activity of each blockchain, depending if the market is bullish or not. Well, we had times in the first quarter that we got a passive yield of 10%. Yeah.
That's obviously not to be slipped
it's not
at. Yeah yeah
it's
yeah.
not it, it's not normal. So only that fact allows us to pay the commissions and beat the benchmark, right?
So then we
have a second pillar or a second block that is important for us, which is the dynamic allocation within the benchmark that we have, the UltraCAP 5, although we can run some of benchmark risk. So where it comes to that pillar is basically fundamental analysis, on-chain fundamental analysis, technical analysis, and also macroeconomic analysis. Because on the end of the day, we are speaking of a macro asset class. And don't make any mistake. Because
this asset
class is sensible to interest rates.
Exactly.
It's sensible to the stance or the appetite of risk. It's sensible to the level of the dollar. It's sensible to credit spreads. It's sensible to the monetary policy. So we always look to the macro conditions and the economic regime, more inflation, less growth, less inflation, or the regime or the balance between inflation and regime to be more risky or less risky on the portfolio as a top. As a top-down allocation. So it's also something important for us. So, and the third pillar is because we are VC investors, right? And we have an accelerator in Lisbon. We are co-investors with our VC investors in Europe. We are very close to the ecosystem. So we are very close to the founders. We have sometimes the founders and some startups sitting on our office. We have open space where they can come and where they can sit. So basically, we know their pains. We know what they are trying to forge. We know the use cases. We know the technology. We ask them why they are using some blockchain and not the other blockchain. So it's almost free research from us, right? So
yeah, sure.
It's the two faces of the same coin. So That part also helps us to take decisions on the global crypto fund as well.
Absolutely. So this is that's a really great answer, Nuno. It suggests a multivalent strategy, which is almost beyond what you can actually write in a prospectus, because you've got elements of VC. You have obviously the actively managed element and the inputs, some of which are going to be subliminal, really, from the very fact that you're in an environment, not just being a VC, not just being an incubator, but you're in an environment where you actually see the interactions and the sort of the key players who are, innovating as well as acting on the blockchain. So that's really compelling. So yeah, let's digging a little bit, another level deeper, Nuno. So just give us a high-level overview of the fund structure, because I know that you've got an active allocation strategy, we've talked about that, which specifies 25% as the maximum allocation within the universe, that's within the universe of the UC5, plus a 10% max off-benchmark exposure, excluding cash. So again, I'd maybe first of all break that down, in simpler terms, because I'm not as articulate as you. But secondly, what's the model predicated on? Why have you chosen that model?
Well, because this fund, the addressable market for this fund is professional clients and qualified investors, people that normally they make an assessment, a very serious assessment before, and a very serious due diligence before they invest in. And also because they are not experts on the asset class, we had the need to design the fund in a very institutional framework. And what that means? It means that my investor that is allocating funds on behalf of the clients, they want that my returns come exactly from the sources that I say they can, right? So that's why we had the need to select a benchmark. And that's why when we have trust that benchmark normally has better returns than other benchmarks, because its nature, because the way is built, and because as exposure to the projects more solid and to projects that we feel very optimistic in the future. So we believe that the growth, we can then try to explore that, but we believe the growth of the adoption rate of blockchain and the LTs will come mainly from Ethereum and Solana and the likes of those two projects, more than Bitcoin, which is more like a very solid project, but is more like a reserve asset, right? And a reserve asset has its place in the portfolio and makes all the sense. But our idea was basically to give the confidence to the clients that what we are offering is to beat that benchmark. And that benchmark is representative of the asset class. If we push our investments out of the, I would say, the 15 biggest assets, then I'm offering something completely different. I'm offering more a VC style of fund, right? And we are not offering, and our aim is not to offer a VC style of fund, because we have a VC fund to offer separate, closed-ended, more risky, more symmetric, even more symmetric with a more symmetric risk return. So this fund aims to be plain vanilla, needs to have daily liquidity. So we need to pay attention to the assets that we have exposure to, because we need to pay to the clients if they're in 5 days. So we cannot be pushed to the fringe of the market, where I'm pretty sure there are a lot of opportunities and wonderful projects. But I also have the need and I have the fiduciary responsibility to deeply understand all the assets that I have in my portfolio. And only to understand EVM, Ethereum Virtual Machine, and all Ethereum ecosystem, I need a couple of people, a couple of analysts to do that, right? The Solana, the same thing. So if I would go to a different index, like your large cap or like your broader cap with 20 or 50 constituents, I would need to have 50 analysts, which is not feasible, right? And the product would not be the same, because traditional allocators, they want to have Bitcoin and eventually Ethereum and Solana. And they probably don't have the need to have Ethereum and Solana. We just try to position ourselves as, if you want an extra return, probably those are the tokens, those are the projects that will bring and that will trigger most of the growth in the future. So that's why we organized the fund and we designed the fund with only 25 plus 10% active risk. So we can be out of the benchmark for 35% of the fund, which is not a big amount, but actually this is such a volatile space as in any other risky asset class. The returns are so much concentrated, because it's not easy, because if I was saying that was easy, I was developing my own work, but it's easier to beat the benchmark in these conditions. It's also easier to beat an index with 5 components than an index with 500 components like the S&P 500. So that's basically the story. To keep it simple, to keep it in a level that everybody understands, and make above all, to assure people that returns come exactly from they expect the returns would come.
Absolutely. That's brilliant. Gabe, no, you're dying to get in, man. Go for it.
Yeah, definitely. One thing I want to jump back to, I really appreciated what you said, Nuno, when you were describing the constituents that comprise of the UltraCap 5 index. I commonly refer to that index as kind of like the blue chip mega cap index that we've constructed. And it's kind of like when you're describing them as these are projects that are very established and that have longer histories, have withstood the test of time. It just kind of reminded me a little bit about like that quality type factor. Is that fair to kind of help connect the TradFi listeners to, you know, maybe these more crypto native folks that, you know, there's this thing called a quality factor, which, you know, generally describes companies that have higher margins, less volatile earnings and sales growth. And for these tokens that are in this index, it just kind of seems like a parallel, right?
Absolutely. That's brilliant. Actually, I never thought that way, but exactly what we sell. If we divide all the crypto sectors and all the crypto projects into factors, like we do on TradeFi with traditional assets, momentum, quality, value. That is exactly that. We are selling that slice of the assets that are compatible of as a quality as a quality factor. That's that's brilliant. Yeah, that's a good way to sell the fund as well for equity guys. Thank you for that, guy.
That's what I'm here. That's what I'm here for. I want to also kind of jump into the next topic, and that's to dive a little bit deeper of in the topic of portfolio management, risk management. It's pretty interesting to have a guest like you, someone who's worked in managing, you know, long short equities or, you know, traditional assets, and now you're delving into this crypto space. How do these two spaces compare? What are some of the similarities? What are some of the differences in your approaches to risk management, portfolio management? I think that's something that we'd really love to hear more about.
You know, absolutely. I've been on the space for 25, 30 years, more time than I could remember, actually. And what we have learned in terms of portfolio construction, what we have learned in terms of optimizing risk returns, all that stuff can be replicated into the crypto world. And that's a big advantage, right? Because I'm not a crypto native. Actually, now we have young people that work for us as analysts that before buying a stock, they were already investing into Bitcoin, into Dogecoin, Shibas, and all that stuff. So, but obviously, it's quite refreshing. It's not every decade that we have a new asset class, right? So, for me, it's like born again, right? Like born, yeah. having a new asset class with a lot of opportunities, having the possibility after working 25, 30 years to keep be learning into other stuff with the tech stuff. So for me personally and professionally is really, really, really good. And obviously, all we have learned in our TradeFi asset management roles, like risk management, liquidity management, optimizing portfolios, can be replicated. Namely, on the risk management, I think is the most important stuff. Then, obviously, I was also an analyst, and the frameworks that we have used that we use to value companies, discount cash flows, multiples, and all that stuff. In some way, they can be adapted, right? We cannot replicate directly as, you know, managing the risk of portfolio, but with some tweaks, we can do also and develop interesting frameworks of valuation, the assets. So it's really interesting. And one of the things that is really interesting is that on cryptos, because most of the projects don't have cash flows, or most of the projects don't have a yield or a dividend. It's not the case of Solana and Ethereum. Actually, we need to adapt, and we need sometimes to collect some new models from private equity and venture capital and try to adapt to this new world. As we were analyzing startups or Amazon in the first beginning, or Google in the first beginning, or Yahoo, and all that kind of stuff. One thing that is quite different, we learn on the TradeFi asset management that diversification is good, right? We have learned modern portfolio theory, and one of the blocks of modern portfolio theory is diversification, right? Trying to optimize the risk return for a certain level of risk or certain level of risk budget. In cryptos, actually, it works the other way around. So diversification, because we are speaking about a very volatile market and a very emergent, in a very, it's something most of the projects are on its infancy. The volatility, if you diversify too much, actually, you are not optimizing the risk and you are not reducing the downside. On the contrary, you are augmenting the volatility and you are increasing your downside risk. And that was something that we wanted to cope and to tackle. Another thing is that even on TradeFi, let's face it, the best portfolio managers in the world, like the likes of Warren Buffett. He was not super diversified, right? he was always investing by conviction. And that's what we also try to do here. We have conviction that Ethereum, Solana, they are not going to disappear. They are going to be the triggers of growth on the blockchain, bringing new use cases, new business, new dApps, new users. And Bitcoin will be there as a reserve asset or a store of value. Even on indices, S&P 500 is there, 500 components, and still 80% of the return of the last 2 years have come from 7 stocks, right? So yeah, diversification is good. I sell that. But on cryptos, probably that does not work. So we like to invest by conviction, conviction on technology, conviction on demographic trends, conviction on business models. And actually, cryptos and digital assets normally tick all these three boxes. Because we have tailwind for demographic trend, because people, the new generations will be more prone and will accept easier to have exposure to these kind of assets. We have a technology that we believe and it is, and we think it is robust. Actually, we find it very difficult. We envisage that in 10 to 15 years' time, part of the financial system will run on a blockchain or partially on a blockchain. I don't know if it's going to be Ethereum or Solana or whatever. It probably will be private blockchains or private DLTs because of regulatory issues. But still, the technology is very robust. So that's we are ticking another box. We have a technology that is robust, and we think that it's going to gain market share over the time. Then we have also the part of the business model, decentralization. Probably decentralization cannot be applicable to every sector, to every business, but it's a good thing, right? And people now are embracing more the advantage of this decentralization because the big techs, they have so much power, they have so much information about us that makes the world a bit of less interesting, let's say. And so it's about all those areas. So we don't mind to be slightly concentrated because we want to understand deeply what are the projects where we invest in, to explain to the clients, and because we have long-term convictions. So the UltraCap 5 is perfect for us.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I'm going to slightly diverge a little bit here, Nino and Gabe. Because what strikes me from this conversation, probably the most interesting takeaway I've had, is that you go out on the street, even in Lisbon, Lisbon, as we've discussed, is at the leading edge of attempting to attract the brightest minds of the innovative spaces, including crypto. And it's made some sort of measures to do that. So clearly, Lisbon, I would expect to have a slightly different culture, ethos, baseline knowledge level about technology, crypto, and so on and so forth. But even in Lisbon, if you went out to the street now, even in the city, and said to someone, I have launched a global crypto fund, what would their reaction generally be? It would be slightly, it's a bit sketchy,
Disaster, right? Would be a disaster.
You know what I mean? But having this conversation with you just reminds me why I always have this sort of feeling of dissonance. Your strategy is so sound and actually quite conservative to maximize the potential from this strategy, and also to minimize the risk, maximum risk management, maximize potential. It would actually be surreal for many people to actually hear what you've actually been saying. Your strategy sounds actually more conservative than the average TradFi, actively managed fund. It may be a hedge fund. You see what I'm saying? So how do you actually deal with that challenge? Because essentially you're saying basically all the right things, but I think you quite often, I'm suspecting you probably have to start from the very beginning when you're explaining the benefits of a fund like yours or maybe yours to people who maybe are not so cognizant, not so well-versed in the world that we are all existing in, this crypto world. How do you actually deal with that challenge?
No, absolutely. It's quite tough, and at the same time, it's challenging. We are used to that, right? We did already that. We went already through that road for of learning or trying to understand, try to learn and understand what are the inside of the technology, how the things work, what are the rationals and all that stuff. But normally, you're in Portugal. Right now we have been only, because the fund is only two and a half months, so it's just a baby. So I've spoke only with local asset managers so far, and people that normally I learn for long, right? And one thing, 4 years ago, they wouldn't even receive me, right? Now they want to understand and they want to learn what we are doing, because the perception is, yeah, this is an asset class, it's not going to disappear. If we still have Bitcoin and Ethereum after what happened in 2022, which was basically a disaster, even worse than in 2008 when we had the likes of Bear Stearns, Lehman Brothers, and all that stuff. What happened in 2022 on crypto world was like, on top of Bear Stearns and Lehman Brothers, JP Morgan, Citibank, and Goldman Sachs would have been busted as well. And still, there are someone as after that disaster, Bitcoin is still there. Ethereum is still there. There are new projects. So I think now it's relatively easy to explain that this is a proper asset class, is debatable where it's going to, where the price is going to, but this is here to stay, right? So it's our job basically to give some confidence about the price action and about the technology as well, and ultimately will be the technology and the advancements that will propel the price of these currencies, of these tokens, of these digital assets. But normally we still face some challenges, like for them, well, they understand this is asset class, probably I need to be invested in, but what's the difference between Bitcoin and Ethereum, right? That's the most, they don't understand. They normally think that it's the same. And basically what I tell them, but well, the only similarity between the two assets is that they both run on a blockchain, but they mean completely different stuff. So sometimes we need to go from that point, right? But that's okay. It's part of the process and it's part of the education. And we are here for that as well.
Brilliant. Really appreciate that. And yeah, I'm not joking. We both found that really educational. And we'd like to have you back. I know that both 3Comma and maybe the strategy, obviously you have, you know, future plans as well for the firm, potential other funds. Please come back, you know, when there's further news and we can discuss more.
Absolutely. Thanks a lot, Ken.
All right. Brilliant. Okay, Gabe. So that was our second European guest in about 2 months. And again, we had an amazing perspective on, number one, the environment in his specific country, Lisbon, but also the European experience with digital assets too, as well as an insight into his new, relatively new portfolio fund. What are your main takeaways from that conversation?
Like you said, I think it's pretty awesome that we keep getting these guests from all over the world. I mean, you know, we've pretty much hit, I think, most continents at this point. And that's giving our audience, I think, a pretty global perspective. From a practitioner standpoint, one thing that I really found to be interesting was his emphasis on the risk management side for dialing in a crypto portfolio. I spent years in the portfolio management side and understand well kind of like the routines of optimization, creating your capital market assumptions, trying to really get the best risk-adjusted returns for your client's performance. But in particular with crypto, it's almost like the job starts with putting your risk manager hat first. So whereas perhaps you might be looking for finding excess returns in an equity portfolio or fixed income portfolio, I think in a volatile asset class like digital assets, understanding your risk, understanding your drawdowns, managing that in a way that, you know, gives you enough, you know, powder for, you know, dry powder for opportunities in the future that are probably better setups as he is, you know, trying to create alpha, is probably takes precedent over any of these other exercises that you probably would do on a regular portfolio. So that's one thing that I took away from, you know, as someone who appreciates the craft of managing money, of investment management, it just really kind of resonated well with me. So, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. That would be my main takeaway too. Because you know, I experienced that dissonance. I tried to raise it with Nuno. I'm not sure if I articulated it very well. That's the main dissonance that I feel at the moment. I'm in this space with you, Gabe, and, you know, all my other colleagues. And I've never worked in a space of more sophisticated, assiduous, not just on risk, but on every other metric and every other factor that you can consider. I've never worked in a space where that is, you know, the heightened level of all of these considerations. This is the highest ever that I've ever worked in. And it's crypto. It's crypto for criminals and money laundering and scams and, you know. So that is the main dissonance I'd actually point out to people who are still on the fence or still, you know, basically in my mind, I've got the wrong idea about this space. But guys, I hope you've enjoyed this conversation as much as myself and Gabe did. And if that's the case, of course, Spotify, Amazon Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, and other platforms are your friends to find other episodes of CFP Talks Digital Assets. We've also just emerged from one of the most important weeks for CF benchmarks in our history. Another one within 6 months of that other one in January. So our website is the place to go to find a whole host of content to record and explain and understand the launch of Ethereum ETFs in the States. While you're there, do check out the paper prepared by our research team, Gabe Selby, CFA, Head of Research, and of course, Mark Pilipchuk, co-researcher. Ether, a strategic asset for the decentralized economy. It is the primer you need as any sort of intermediary, or in fact, anyone who's interested in understanding Ether. Certainly anyone who's interested in investing in Ether further down the line, now that Ether has come further into the you know, regulated traditional asset marketplace. Having said all that, we hope to see you again very soon for another episode of CFP Talks Digital Assets. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you for listening to CFP Talks Digital Assets. This recording is for informational purposes only and should not be considered investment advice. It is not intended, nor should it be considered an invitation or inducement to buy or sell any of the underlying instruments cited, including but not limited to crypto assets, financial instruments, or any instruments that reference any index provided by CF Benchmarks Limited. This recording is not intended to persuade or incite you to buy or sell a security or securities noted within. Any commentary, interviews, and discussions are opinions only and should not be considered a personalized recommendation. Please contact your financial advisor or professional before making any investment decision. Some of the underlying instruments cited within this recording may be restricted to certain customer categories in certain jurisdictions.